The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The wait is nearly over as we are just 2 days away from the 2021 NFL Draft, and fittingly, only the first two picks of the draft feel like a lock at this point. But we'll get to pick three in a minute. It's a busy and packed NFL Live today as we've got perspective from Jeff Darlington and Jeff Saturday, Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy, Keyshawn Johnson, and Damian Woody as well. And I'm Field Yates, and welcome to the show where we'll dive into all the latest buzz, including what Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said earlier today. But injury continues to surround the Niners' third overall pick, which they traded up to get in a blockbuster deal last month. So all signs continue to point to one of the highly coveted quarterbacks, but Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch won't show their cards as far as who their guy is. Shanahan had plenty to say when he spoke to the media on Monday.
We could have sat there at 12 and waited to see which one came to us. And I think whichever one did, if one did, I think that could have been looked really good. But we made a decision in this process that we felt we needed to get a starting quarterback this year and add that to our team. We wanted to dictate it.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
Keyshawn, that's a rather sobering, but I suppose accurate statement right there from Kyle Shanahan at the end of that soundbite there. But let's talk about the quarterback. What do you think the 49ers should do at pick three?
Well, I think they obviously take a quarterback, right? Do you take that quarterback that everyone thinks is Mac Jones? I don't. I think it's a Justin Fields potentially or a Trey Lance. You gave up a lot to go get a Mac Jones, then I don't understand, because you could have got him for a lot less. You could have sat in your spot at 12 and potentially got him, or you could have moved up, traded with a Detroit, traded with another team to get that pick without giving up three first rounders and another pick later on. But when you look at this, I look at a guy that I know in John Lynch and another guy that I know in Kyle Shanahan to say that they're very smart individuals and they're not going to allow someone else to spook them in the draft process to go out and make a move that's somewhat will be precedented over time, depending on how it pans out, to go get a guy like Mac Jones. I know the smoke screen. I know the game. It's out there. We've run with it over weeks now since the trade was announced, but I don't think that's the guy.
Well, Jeff, no matter who the 49ers take, all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo's got a crowded quarterback room. What happens to Jimmy G now?
That's right. Well, it depends who they take. Look, if they do take Mac Jones, it feels much more likely that Jimmy Garoppolo becomes an expendable point of the roster. Mac Jones would be, for all intents and purposes, going into this as the week one starter. Trey Lance, on the other hand, is widely believed around the league to need some time before he's ready to be there. If that's the case, Jimmy Garoppolo remaining on the roster for 2021 certainly makes the most sense from a personnel standpoint. You will have to face the awkwardness of both Garoppolo going into this situation knowing he is lame duck and the potential awkwardness of Garoppolo having success with this team, one in which he was nearly a Super Bowl champion as a part of. So there's a lot in play. Garoppolo, though, fortunately for the 49ers, is the type of player, despite what felt like an insult from Kyle Shanahan during that press conference, he's the type of player that I think will put his head down, will go to work knowing that there is a potential massive payday at the end of the rainbow if, in fact, he can succeed in 2021.
Listen, there was no doubt this was a shot from Shanahan to Garoppolo. Like, it was an unnecessary shot, in all honesty. I mean, he's up there having conversation about, you know, he's already traded away the picks. It's, you know, the die has been cast, right? I mean, you know what's going on. You know, you're at the third pick. It's going to be a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy G's already sitting in that seat. There was really no reason to have that conversation. He wouldn't have said that about George Kittle. He wouldn't have said that about Bosa, right? I mean, you can go through a number of players that he would not have said that same comment about, you know, the planet existing on Sunday. So when I look at this, it has made this more difficult than it should be. If you think about Jimmy G and what he's done, again, they're in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. When he's available, meaning when he's not injured, he is a quarterback that can win football games in the NFL. To bring along another rookie to kind of train under him, even if you're thinking of making the full shift, you know, week 8 or somewhere in there. But right now, I feel like you've pressed the gas on this, right? As you've all of a sudden said, whichever guy comes in, Garoppolo most likely won't be here, so he's going to be our day one guy. I just felt like it was unnecessary. Who knows if they can overcome it. Darlington, I know you believe that Jimmy G's the kind of guy that takes that in stride. I don't know that he is. I don't know that he will. But for lack of for really no reason other than just to say it, there was no reason for him to say that about Jimmy G at that moment, and it just brought more issue than really needed to be there.
Yeah, Jeff, I agree with you. It looked like Kyle Shanahan was a little agitated in that press conference. But back to the Mac Jones thing, I can see what Key's saying, that it seemed like a lot to go up to number three. But you go back to the time of the trade. They had seen a lot of Mac Jones. They had been to Trey Lance's first pro day. They hadn't seen Justin Fields throw a ball yet. I have a hard time believing they'd trade up. And I know they've said they wanted to do their due diligence through the process. And since then, they have seen Justin Fields and met with Justin Fields. But to me, it seems like Mac or Trey Lance. And then you go back to yesterday. It almost seems like Kyle was agitated that people are digging in so fiercely against the Mac Jones pick. And with Trey Lance, I mean, he is a guy that's going to need to sit for a year. I think that's the ideal situation, the ideal scenario. I think that if you were going to do that and Trey Lance was going to make the pick, I think that you wouldn't have upset Jimmy G in that press conference yesterday.
I think, Phil, when you talk about moving up to get a quarterback, you gave up 3 ones and a third round pick not to get Mac Jones. I think you get a Trey Lance type again. When you look at what they've done historically, and I'm talking about the Shanahan family per se, I'm talking about Kyle, along with his dad, RG3 at Washington. Think about the when he inherited John Elway. Jake Plummer, for instance, they went out and got. Jake Cutler, they went out and got. Those are mobile quarterbacks that fit the West Coast system. He inherited Matt Ryan, who fell in his lap as the offensive coordinator, a statue-type quarterback. There's only 3 of those guys around the NFL right now, one being Tom Brady, the other being Matt Jones, and then there's maybe one other guy that we would deem as a statue in Jared Goff. That's not what the West Coast system historically has given us. Now, unless he's changed his principles, I don't know. I think it's Justin Fields or it's Trey Lance. More likely, Trey Lance to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo for the next couple of years.
I want to take the closing seconds that we have in this conversation to say thank you to the 49ers, because they've given us something to talk about for the past 1 month and 1 day. We will get as much out of this story as we can for the next 48 hours.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, it's time for some quick reads, and we bring in our O-lineman to break down some of the best offensive linemen in the draft. Jeff Saturday, you're first. Let's begin with Oregon left tackle Penei Sewell.
Yeah, listen, Phil, when you talk about a guy who is a complete left tackle, this is the one, right? You think about the Cincinnati Bengals and what they need. You literally saw Joe Burrow get carted off, you know, a few months ago. He's a road grader in the run game. I like his tenacity. I like his fit and finish. He's polished in the pass game, but this guy can do everything you need him to do. And I know they have Jonah Williams in Cincinnati. Whether you move him inside or move someone else around, you can bolster this offensive line and give Burrow that protection he really needs and deserves.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm going to go for the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to go with Rashawn Slater, a guy who really flourished with the Northwestern Wildcats, played multiple positions, did a fantastic job in the Big Ten. And if you're Carolina, particularly with Sam Darnold, you traded for Sam Darnold, you need a guy that's going to protect his blind side and give Christian McCaffrey the necessary lanes to really do his thing. So for me, it's Rashawn Slater.
I'm going Christian Darrisaw to the Washington football team. I think this is a great fit, right? Virginia Tech guy, staying close, all the things that implies. But again, Washington on the defensive line front is dominating. They need to have that same emphasis on the offensive line. Coach Rivera understands that, knows that. He can be on the left side. He can be on the right side. You can kind of move this guy around, put him inside if needed. I think he's a great pick for the Washington football team at that slot at 19.
Yeah, and for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to go with Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. This is a guy who's nasty, has a mean streak, and that's the one thing that's been lacking with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that tenacity up front. This was one of the worst rushing attacks in the National Football League. Relied on Big Ben too much. Their passing game was basically an extension of the running game, so they need some young blood up front to really get after the line of scrimmage. That's what Pittsburgh Steelers football is all about. That physicality in the AFC North.
I get the sense you guys could do an entire show on offensive linemen for the rest of this hour, but I suppose we'll talk just a little bit of quarterback because we're supposed to, that's right. And the Cardinals head into this year's draft with the 16th pick. Their star quarterback, Kyler Murray, could lobby for another wideout, but the secondary is a key area of need for GM Steve Keim. Murray joined NFL Network's Good Morning Football earlier today and was asked about whether he has any input on draft decisions.
I do believe I think I have an influence in it. I don't know why I wouldn't. You know, I think, if you got a guy, a quarterback, and you trust him and you want him to be the face of the franchise for, a lot of years, I think he should have influence just because, everything, is technically built around the quarterback. So I think I have that relationship with Steve and Cliff. And, I'm excited to see what we do on Thursday.
Jim, you worked as a scout and in front offices for years, winning Super Bowls along the way. What was the quarterback influence in draft decisions in your experience?
Very little, Field. I think we're seeing the LeBron effect making its way into the NFL. I don't totally disagree with the premise of it, but a couple of the teams I worked for had Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, and at no point in those draft meetings was it ever brought up what the quarterback wanted or what his input was. So I haven't experienced that. Maybe that's the way we're going in the NFL, but based off the last 20 years in the rooms I was in, the quarterback's input was never brought up.
Yeah, and you were with quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, a couple of decent signal callers in their own right. Key, I want to ask you, should quarterbacks have an influence in draft decisions?
What quarterbacks? Let's start there. Are we talking about Brady, Rodgers, Breeze when he was in New Orleans, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson? Are we talking about Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, MVP? Are we talking about them? Because if that's the answer, or better yet, is that the question? The answer is yes. Absolutely, 100%. But if we're talking about Kyler Murray, then no. No, Kyler Murray shouldn't have any input on what they do with their pick. I understand he may want a wide receiver. They've missed on a couple wide receivers in the draft recently. They had to go out and get Hopkins to basically give him a target. Christian Kirk hasn't been what they thought. So when you start to think about it, Kyler Murray, along with Steve Keim and along with Cliff Kingsbury, they're put on notice right now. It's either make it to the playoffs or bust. So there's a lot of pressure coming out of the desert for the Cardinals to do some magical things in a tough division. When you talk about, hey, I'm supposed to be the face of the franchise, well, the face of the franchise today. We all know when a new coach comes in there, he's going to pick his quarterback like we always see and run an entirely different system. I can't envision a new head coach taking over and saying, hey, I want him as my quarterback when that system hasn't worked in the National Football League.
Interesting. Well, we do know this much. Kyler Murray's off to a special start in his career. Perhaps that will be appealing. Maybe it takes him to the next level this year. As last season, he set an NFL single season record with 9 games where he had both a passing and rushing touchdown.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Trading up wasn't so common for a quarterback in the first 43 drafts of the common draft era, but 16 of the 34 first-round quarterbacks since 2010 were taken by a team that traded up. We've had 11 alone in the past five drafts, which includes standouts from the 2018 class like MVP winner Lamar Jackson and the red-hot Josh Allen. You know, one team who might be looking to trade up in this year's draft for a quarterback is the Bears, and their GM Ryan Pace recently addressed the media at his pre-draft press conference.
I think if we did draft a quarterback, I do think it's a good room for sure. I mean, those guys are both have a lot of experience. I do think it'd be a good room for a young player to enter. But again, we're just going to take the best players throughout this draft.
All right, so Jim, if it's not a quarterback, what player might fit for them at pick 20?
Well, I think Kadarius Toney makes a ton of sense, the wide receiver from Florida. To me, he's the second most dynamic receiver in this year's draft behind Jalen Waddle. They got good play last year out of Darnell Mooney, their fifth-round pick, and Allen Robinson's one of the most underrated receivers in the league. But to me, Kadarius Toney here just gives them a playmaking element out of the slot. And he's different than Elijah Moore, who's 5'9 and a half, and Rondell Moore, who's 5'7. Kadarius is 5'11 and a half. He can also play outside.
While Big Ben is back for 2021, the Steelers may look towards the future with a quarterback pick. Here's GM Kevin Colbert.
It's an unusual group in that we do have four. Can you add a young one? Absolutely. We always have to be on the look for that next guy. And value or try to predict the value of taking that player at that position, because most likely a young quarterback won't play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021. Again, we got four veteran guys that we're going to try to sort through.
All right, Jim, do you think the Steelers could be looking at a quarterback at pick number 24?
I don't. I think they take Najee Harris from Alabama. This hasn't been a Steelers offense since they lost Le'Veon Bell, and Najee Harris immediately gives them an identity back on offense. Very similar to Le'Veon and his power run game and what he does in the pass game. If they address quarterback, I think it's going to be somewhere in that second round area, and the usual suspects there, the three guys we think are going to go, Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, and Davis Mills from Stanford.
Great stuff there on the quarterbacks. Speaking of quarterbacks, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst held his annual pre-draft press conference on Monday, but most of the questions persisted about the possibility of his quarterback Aaron Rodgers' contract.
That's kind of something we're working through. It's something that we've talked about quite a bit as we've worked through this salary cap situation. I'm not going to get into contract specifics, but Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. We're not done yet. We've done a lot to get here. We've kind of been doing things as we go, and we will continue to do that.
All right, so while Aaron Rodgers' contract has no more guaranteed money left, it's set to have a whopping $37.2 million cap charge for Green Bay in 2021 for a deal that runs through 2023. Rodgers' cap hit will occupy nearly one-fifth of the Packers' cap space for 2021, the highest mark amongst quarterbacks and ahead of guys like Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and Ryan Tannehill. Get the gang involved once again, and Key, what do you make of the comments from Packers GM Brian Gutekunst?
Well, I think he's simply saying we're going to get there, and I think they are. I'll go back to last year in the middle of the season when I said by the time they kick off in 2021, Aaron Rodgers will be the highest-paid quarterback in the National Football League. You don't move on from Aaron Rodgers. We're not talking about an old Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench or an older Joe Montana with Steve Young sitting on the bench. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love, who they drafted, by the way, and coming out of Green Bay, a lot of people don't know why they drafted him, because they quite frankly don't like his skill set when they watched him last year in training camp. So when you think about it, these deals are very, very complicated to get done. It didn't take the Kansas City Chiefs a day to do Patrick Mahomes' deal. It took almost a year. We just didn't know about it until the end. They actually started those conversations. So I'm not surprised that the deal hadn't gotten done yet, but I think by the time we kick off the season, he'll have a new contract.
I agree with you, Key. He's going to have a new contract, but I disagree on how easy it is to get. This should have been the easiest deal to get done in the NFL. Like, they brought this on themselves. When you draft Jordan Love in the spot they did, instead of bringing in another receiver to help your offense, and again, whatever you think of Devontae Adams and the whole offensive system and the way they run it, LaFleur, the whole deal, it has all been very good, but it could have been better. Now looking back, you've kind of dug this hole for yourself. You've constantly been in the media, whether it be Mark Murphy or LaFleur, talking about, hey, we're not talking about it. Now you have the GM saying, hey, we're trying to get a deal done. It should have been the priority. Think about how much more money they could have had in the cap had they already done this or approach this. It could have been much easier. They could have been bringing in other talent around them on this football team offensively and defensively instead of sitting in the cap situation they are. Again, they have created this for themselves, and ultimately the only way to get out of it is to pay Aaron his money, which they should have done a year ago.
So I find this to be a very delicate situation for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and it's delicate because it's gotten here, to your point, Jeff. This is now a tightrope that they have to walk. This can't be like, for instance, the Dak Prescott negotiations, where the Cowboys, while we felt like Dak wasn't going to be bullied at all, the Cowboys still could, I don't know, they could be a little bit, pound their chests a little bit more. This is Aaron Rodgers. You can't do that. He will throw the peace sign up so fast and be out of that building if they start to mess with him too much. And that's the tightrope that they're now walking. It is very clear, based on simply what we've seen this offseason, the inability to simply restructure his contract, which across the league is generally done without us knowing or caring with high-profile players like these quarterbacks. Tom Brady would basically do it every year. The fact that that didn't even happen this offseason shows the state of the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I'm not saying that they can't get there. Yep. I'm not saying that they shouldn't get there. They should. But I'm just saying that this is a fine rope that they are now walking between two sides that need to find a way to come together.
So, Key, given that tightrope that they're currently walking, should Aaron Rodgers want to stay in Green Bay?
Absolutely. It's a different situation than Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a free agent. Aaron Rodgers is under contract for the next 2 years and grossly underpaid. So we know that he's going to get tied up, and they're going to spend the money to get him. So at that point in time, do you really honestly think that Aaron Rodgers, despite how much money he's made in his career, is going to play for, I don't know, I think the number's $18 million of non-guaranteed money. He's going to get underneath the center 2 years in a row at that number? No, he's not. They're going to pay him. He's going to be happy. They're going to get the running game going, the passing game going, find a linebacker on defense, and try and win another championship.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for me is just the distraction of why it's here, right? I mean, Key, like, when you talk about teams being able to take care of business, this should have been easy to handle, man. I mean, like this was not a difficult thing had it been addressed a year ago. After he played, after the frustration with the draft pick of Jordan Love, you saw the way he played. Why wouldn't you start beating that drum right then? Aaron's our guy, there's no doubt. It was kind of this vagueness, right? And when Aaron starts framing things as the beautiful mystery, look, I played with a guy, man. Listen, that's not a compliment, right? This, oh, it's a beautiful mystery, not really sure. That means they've screwed it up on their end, man, and he's going to let this thing play out however he wants. Again, if he decides to do what Tom Brady did and leave New England to go to Tampa and make something happen, if you don't think teams would fall all over themselves to give him exactly what he wants offensively, right, and he understands not only is he good enough to get that, but he can do something with it right now, he could push them all the way to the edge. That's my only issue with Green Bay. It's not, you know, can you get the deal done? You should have gotten it done because, again, Jeff, now he may just hit numbers in spite of instead of the other way.
Jeff, you think he's willing to wait 2 years to become a free agent? 2 years now. We're talking about two seasons to become a free agent. Think a lot of things change in the next two seasons to go and do what Tom Brady did? 2 years. That's a lot of time on your body.
Now you guys got me thinking about the idea that the Bucs. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think it would be 2 years, Key. I think if he got as unhappy as he seems, if this thing really turned sour, he could make it nasty. And that cap hit is still going to hurt Green Bay. It's not just the cash part. It's the cap part for them that keeps strapping them. And to your point, when you're right on the edge, but Key, you're right on the edge, bro. This is not a team that's a nine-win team. This is an NFC championship game 2 years in a row. They're right on the cusp. We know there ain't many coming around after Aaron leaves. It's going to take time for Jordan Love or whatever quarterback to get this team back to that same level. You better strike while the iron's hot, man. You better understand that players matter in this situation, especially at that particular player. That's all I'm saying, is very few guys carry the cachet that Aaron Rodgers does, bro. He walks in that room, it's a different room. He understands that there are only probably three or four you could put on a hand that do that in the NFL. You got one. Go make it happen right now, man. We don't know what the future. Hey, we just had San Francisco, his coach tell us the planet might not be here on Sunday. Let's strike while it's hot, baby.
I love when Saturday gets fired up.
Saturday is going, ain't he?
He sure is. Well, we could keep this conversation rolling for the rest of the show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Speaking of the draft, Key, you're a wide receiver. Tell us your top three receivers in this year's draft class. And yes, we're going to include a tight end in this conversation.
Well, you know what, Phil? Yeah, we are going to include a tight end. But is he really a tight end, or is he a tight end that's flexed out a red zone target for somebody, a big body, somebody who understands route combinations, uses his hands extremely well, high points the football, and can become a mismatch nightmare for somebody in the slant fade game in the red zone? My number two selection is Ja'Marr Chase. He reminds me a lot, and I'm not just saying this because the guy went to LSU, but OBJ, ideally about the same size, very quick at the line of scrimmage, does not get jammed, understands what it's like to go get the football down the field in the air. And then when you talk about playing at a top-level school at the receiver position, you've got to do those things at LSU with the body and the history of the guys. Here's his teammate in Terrence Marshall Jr., another wide receiver from LSU. Can play inside, can play on the outside, predominantly in the inside receiver position at LSU. But he's done some wonderful things at the outside spot as well. He uses his hands extremely well. He knows route combinations, and he is a tough guy all the way around.
And crazy to think that they had three potential first-round picks at their wide receiver group just a couple of seasons ago at LSU with a guy named Justin Jefferson. Kind of rings a bell for football fans. Justin Jefferson probably has already torched the Falcons, if I'm not mistaken. They have the fourth overall pick on Thursday, does Atlanta, but they've also got another big decision to make with their star receiver, Julio Jones. GM Terry Fontenot admitted the team will listen to trade offers for the 7-time Pro Bowl. Jones is the Falcons' all-time leader in catches and receiving yards. The Falcons have Julio under contract for 2023 with a cap hit of $23 million for the upcoming season and then a shade over $19 million for the two seasons after that. At this point, it's purely a waiting game as Atlanta has a dicey cap situation to begin with. It would save $15 million for 2021 if Julio is a post-June 1 trade, but if the Falcons deal him before then, they owe $23 million against the cap this year. Key, is it smart for the Falcons to trade Julio Jones and draft Kyle Pitts?
If they're trading Julio Jones because they think that Kyle Pitts is going to replace Julio's production, no, it's not smart. That would be a mistake. With a healthy Julio Jones, you got one of the top three or four receivers in the National Football League. We've seen him throughout his career be able to dominate games. His route running and his capability of changing direction, stopping on a dime and giving some change is ridiculous. Only other guys I've seen do things like that is Jerry Rice, Megatron. You know, when you talk about the size, his ability, his toughness, it's crazy. Kyle Pitts has a long ways to go before you can even even have that conversation about replacing Julio Jones with a Kyle Pitts slash tight end slash wide receiver? No, not even in the least bit.
Well, Key, we know that, and Phil mentioned this, that the Atlanta Falcons, they're in a precarious cap situation. And if you're looking to build towards the future, I think you have to start looking at the quarterback position and start thinking about that. Matt Ryan is still playing at a pretty high level. But Arthur Smith came over from the Tennessee Titans. And the one thing about Arthur Smith is he wants to run play action pass. And the one quarterback, to me, that kind of fits the mold of what he had in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill is Trey Lance. Trey Lance is a guy that I think everyone knows probably needs to sit a year, but he also has a lot of the same characteristics that Ryan Tannehill has been so successful at with the Tennessee Titans. So, listen, Matt Ryan can still get, you know, still ball this year, but at some point the Atlanta Falcons have to start looking towards the future with all this cap situation that they got going on. And the perfect place to start is at the quarterback position.
Yeah, you know, when I hear that, you know, you think about the draft really starts at the fourth pick, right, this year. If you consider that everybody believes Mac Jones, and I know Key doesn't, and there's some guys like I think Fields should be the guy, but if that's where it is, this is really where the draft and the dominoes start according to this pick. If I'm the Falcons, if I'm going to trade Julio Jones, I trade the pick, right, and I go get, you know, no matter what that number is, I'm going to get other picks, I'm going to get other players I know can come in and impact my football team and help contribute. If I decide I'm going to keep Julio and there's no one else there that I want, I'm going to get Pitts. Because I think with Ridley, Julio, and now Pitts on the inside, now you dictate to defenses. And you talked about Arthur Smith and what he's done in Tennessee. He loves to use that tight end, 12 personnel, that whole idea. Having Pitts in there when you can now dictate man coverage or he can't get bracketed or can't get hit off the line of scrimmage, there's a lot of openings on that defensive backfield now with three guys who we know can win in man. What does that also do? Opens up the run game, which we know Arthur Smith likes to do. Think about Derrick Henry and what they've done and established in Tennessee. So if you're going to trade Julio, I'm with Key. I don't go get Pitts, but if you're keeping him, I think it's a good fit there to make it happen. I'm of the mindset you keep Matt Ryan for at least the next 2 years, you run with him. I promise you, there's going to be another quarterback, Wood. There's going to be another quarterback next year or in 2 years. It's shocking because I know none of us believe it, but next year there's going to be a whole other class of QBs who can come in and help an organization win. So if I'm then, I'm patient. I'm biding my time, all depending on what I'm going to do with Julio.
Well, whether they go quarterback or Kyle Pitts, this much is true for Atlanta. They're in somewhat unfamiliar territory as their fourth overall pick is the team's highest since drafting Matt Ryan all the way back in 2008 when he went third overall.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Cowboys owned the 10th pick in the draft on Thursday night, and the always entertaining Jerry Jones had his pre-draft press conference earlier today.
I think that we've got a good chance to have a top defensive player, the top or one of the top, be there at 10. When you start talking about being where there's one of the top, whether it be at a position or whether it be at a one side of the ball or the other, that's a lot of action that can happen there. You can get a lot of phone calls.
All right, Jeff, the Cowboys, the 10th overall pick. What should they do here?
Man, call the Patriots. Call them tonight. Talk to Bill Belichick. Hey, I know you're trying to get rid of Gilmore. We want to. We know you want to move up five slots. Let's make this thing happen. Hey, shockingly, there's going to be a corner left at 10 or 15. That's where the Cowboys need to go. They can get Gilmore and still get potentially a Surtain or whichever one is left there. So when you're looking at that, that could be a home run for the Cowboys and get some second round help or some day two help, man. This thing could be an absolute beauty for the Cowboys. Just be patient. Call Bill. See if they can get a quarterback and reach for it. Man, how good would that be for both organizations?
Hey, Jeff, I like the way you think, brother. I like the way you think. Hey, Jared, don't do anything stupid like go trade up for another offensive player. You got plenty of firepower right on the roster. Don't do anything like that. Listen, hey, for TV purposes, it actually might play out great, but Jared, get you a defensive guy, man. Come on. Let's go.
One of the two corners, right? It's got to be Pat Surtain from Alabama or J.C. Horn. And having been with Dan Quinn, he's going to like both those guys. He likes bigger corners. And really, if you drill down a little further what Dan likes, he likes guys that play with swag, and that's J.C. Horn. This guy challenges routes, super competitive. You know, Surtain plays more of a disciplined game, but who knows if he has that swag because Coach Saban doesn't really like those guys to play that way and show that emotion on the field. So maybe he's got it. We've seen a lot of swag out of Marlon Humphrey since he's been in the league. We've seen it from Minkah Fitzpatrick. But those two guys make sense. To me, that's the easiest mock in this draft is a corner to Dallas at 10.
Yeah, and by the way, this defensive class has just been underrated in general because of all the focus on quarterbacks and wide receivers and the two premium offensive tackles. Some really good defensive players are going to hear their name called probably later than you'd expect them to based off of ability. So we heard from Jerry earlier today, also Jeff Saturday, that Dak Prescott is making great progress in his recovery. No major surprise there, but how much pressure do you feel like Dak now faces coming back from the injury, but also being the man who has this massive contract that we've been waiting for what feels like 3 years?
Well, I think Steven said he's coming back at 110% field. Right. So he's not just 100, baby. That $150 million gave him 10% more. I mean, this dude, he is rock star ready, baby. That's what I love to hear from Steven. They are getting you hyped up in Big D. I mean, you can't listen. You can't. It's not 100 isn't good enough. We got to go 110. But in all honesty, there is no more pressure on Dak Prescott. Listen, this guy has earned every penny. He's going to continue to progress, continue to lead this football team. He's going to give them shots and opportunities to win a bunch of football games. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that his progression from this injury is coming back. In all honesty, man, that was a pretty gruesome thing to watch. So glad to hear that he's back in action. I just love the way the Joneses do it down there, man. It's just different. You know, it's 110. It's never 100. Always go a little bit extra. You know what I mean? So pretty. So fun.
Hell, $150 million make me feel 110% too. So, yeah, I can totally understand how that's going. But the Dallas Cowboys, they need Dak back. We saw how they fell apart last year when he had that gruesome injury. So, kudos to Dak. Kudos to the Cowboys for finally making this thing happen. Now, let's see them pull it all together and go get that defensive player in the first round.
Yeah, one thing is clear. That's right. All can't wait to see Dak back on the field. But it's time for one more thing before we go. You might recall that 23 years ago today, a certain undrafted free agent out of North Carolina with shoulder pads the size of a boulder inked the deal with the Baltimore Ravens.
Look at that boy.
Undrafted free agent, Jeff Saturday. What do you remember of that deal? Look at that. How did you get drafted?
I remember when I walked in and I looked around at Jonathan Ogden and Jeff Blackshear and Zeus, who was Orlando Brown. I looked at all these trees and I was this short little bush. I knew I was in trouble, man. I knew I wasn't going to be here long. In all honesty, Kirk Ferentz, the Iowa head coach, told me, you're going to have a long career in the NFL. The next day I got cut. So I had one cup of coffee. They cut me and sent me on my way.
Hey, it's not how you get there. It's how you finish, Jeff Saturday. You are proof of that, my friend.